Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. It has been an entertaining week in Topeka, to say the least. Disappointing for many conservatives, and as you've no doubt seen, celebratory preemptively or prematurely celebratory, rather, for Democrats. With us now to give us sort of a Senate breakdown is the president of the Kansas Senate, Susan Weigel. Senator, you took a pretty bold leadership position this week, and I appreciate you joining us this evening to walk us through it and explain yourself.
Hey, it's a pleasure, John. It's always helpful to be able to tell my side of the story, and certainly I can do that on your show.
Well, and certainly the media is not going to give you that opportunity, so I appreciate you coming on. And for those who read the Wichita Eagle and may not pay attention, I know kind of what you did, but why don't you kind of explain it? I appreciated what you did. I guess it was, Friday or Saturday. But give us the gist of what happened and what you've done with bills that are currently pending in the Senate.
Well, we have an urgent situation the state of Kansas is facing, John, in that just this last April, the Kansas Supreme Court came down with a Hodes ruling that essentially strikes all our abortion regulations that are in statute. And we had a hearing about the issue a few weeks ago, and we decided that we need a constitutional amendment to fix the problem, that if we don't pass a constitutional amendment and let the people vote on the issue, clearly the court ruling stands because of the strict scrutiny that they require now to keep any abortion restriction in place. So the Kansas Senate had hearings. We passed by over a two-thirds majority with 29 votes, more than needed, the ability to place the question on the ballot in August as to whether or not the people of Kansas want the court to decide their abortion regulation or whether they would rather have their elected leaders, who they vote for every 2 or 4 years in the state of Kansas, decide how to regulate abortion.
You know, it's so important that people understand this is not a ban. I know the left loves to say this is a ban on abortion. It's not that. It's not banning abortion. I saw Stephanie Clayton and a few others immediately run to the papers and say this wasn't a ban. It's not. Press loves to demonize this bill. It does just give the voters of Kansas the right to reaffirm that the power to regulate the industry should reside in the legislature. And, of course, because of four rhino Republicans, as we talked with Dan earlier, because of those rhino Republicans, the bill failed in the House. So, you know, you felt the need to remind folks how important this was, is the way I kind of view it, essentially, correct?
Well, we had hearings in our Judiciary Committee about how our restrictions, such as parental consent and informed consent, clinic licensure, how all those restrictions will be ultimately stricken with this ruling. We did not talk a lot about in our committee about taxpayer-funded abortions. We didn't see a need to bring that up. But the truth of the matter is that in this ruling from the Kansas Supreme Court, from our Kansas justices, they cite five states as to the reason why they determined that they can take over legislating abortion. And all five of those states allow taxpayer-funded abortions. And the problem with taxpayer-funded abortions when you pass Medicaid expansion is that you take 90% of the dollars from the federal government and 10% from the state. And that 90% of the dollars from the feds, according to the Hyde Amendment, cannot be used to pay for an abortion. Since in states where the court has taken over your rulings, then your 10% match, which is all state taxpayer dollars, inordinately fund all the abortions. So a lot of the money we pay in then just funds abortions because the federal law restricts federal money from being used that way. So that there's a lot of legislators who aren't truly aware of that. Senator Gene Sullentrop will have a hearing on that in my health committee. I think hopefully he's putting that together next week. But Kansans on all sides of the abortion issue don't want taxpayer dollars being used to fund abortion.
No, I mean, I wasn't even really aware of that. So just to make sure I'm understanding this right, that 90-10 match, which I don't think is set in stone, the way the federal government is desperate for money, the way spending changes, it wouldn't surprise me at all if at some point they dropped that match. But because federal money cannot be spent on abortion, 100% of Medicaid-funded abortions in Kansas would be paid for by taxpayer dollars.
All of the abortions through the Medicaid system would be covered with Kansas taxpayer dollars. I just don't think that's something that's well known. I think when we have hearings about it, those people who voted no will rethink the situation. There will be a tremendous rebellion when the court strikes down what's called our conscience clause.
Right.
We have in current statute a conscience clause that says Kansas taxpayer funds will not be used for abortion. And there's no question when the court takes over our abortion rulings, they will strike that provision, as has happened in other states. And I think when we get the word out, hopefully the House will reconsider their votes on that constitutional amendment. And we're really not dictating abortion laws in the amendment. All we're saying is, if you vote for the amendment, is you give abortion restrictions back to the legislature. And John, all of our restrictions fit within the Roe v. Wade ruling, every darn one of them. They're using scare tactics to say in the case of rape, a woman won't be able to have an abortion. That's false.
Right.
You know it's
false.
That's
not true.
So, yeah, it's a scare tactic. All we're doing with this amendment is putting Kansans in charge and allowing them to vote on who they want to determine abortion restrictions in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, I think it is. All along, I've said it's ironic that the Democrats who for years have railed about disenfranchising the vote are right now trying to disenfranchise Kansans and denying them the ability to vote on this constitutional amendment. So I know you're taking a lot of heat right now for sending these bills back to committee. But really what you're trying to do is just make sure that before Medicaid expansion gets passed out of the Senate, there's now protections in there, because without the Value Them Both amendment, if Medicaid expansion passes, there's no prevention for taxpayer-funded abortion. That's essentially all you're doing here, correct?
That is correct. And all the life organizations, Kansans for Life, the Kansas Catholic Conference, all of our life organizations have also come out now against Medicaid expansion, because without this amendment, without the Value Them Both amendment on the ballot, Kansas can easily, our conscience provisions will be overturned, our clinic licensure will be overturned, and with Medicaid expansion, they have no control. So they're opposed to Medicaid expansion until this amendment gets on the ballot in August.
Well, you know, there are Republicans that have supported Medicaid expansion who are pro-life. There are Democrats who are supportive of Medicaid expansion and pro-life. There are Democrats like Jim Denning that are supporting both, who have claimed to be pro-life. And I know you're not going to address that comment because you're trying to be nice to Jim. I, on the other hand, am not so constrained. It is very disappointing for a lot of us to sit back and watch this and say, how is it that members of both chambers who call themselves pro-life can stand for this? You know, I get that both issues are important, but if life is a fundamental principle for these folks, they cannot stand for Medicaid expansion to come out allowing for this. Susan, we're going to take a quick break, if you can hold on through the break, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about the debate. There was recently the debate at the Kansas GOP state convention, and I just want to play a couple of clips from it and ask you about it. You got a second? We'll hold on through the break?
Of course.
Perfect. Fantastic. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
You can't always get what you want. No. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime...
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. With us still is Kansas Senate President Susan Weigel. Susan, thank you again for joining us. I know you've got a busy schedule. We'll get right to it. I had a chance to attend the Republican convention. We've played some highlights. We hopefully will be able to get to a few more highlights from the convention. But one of the best parts of that convention weekend was the debate. This was actually the first of the U.S. Senate candidate debates, wasn't it?
It was, and we had over 700 people in attendance, and of course it was on Facebook Live, so the video is getting around the state.
Well, and for those of you who haven't had a chance to view it, we have shared the entire debate. The Kansas Republican Party has the debate. It's about an hour, I think. It's a good debate. They've got it on their Facebook page. We've got it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but there were some really interesting moments. There were some fun moments in that debate, and I want to share one particular moment. There was a kind of a give and take back and forth. It only had the three of you. Dave Lindstrom had a medical issue. He wasn't able to attend, but there was a pretty interesting exchange between former Secretary Kobach, yourself, and Congressman Roger Marshall. They were asking about electability and which one of you was, you know, who each of you felt was better positioned to carry the Republican mantle into the general election against that radical, you know her, Barbara Bollier. And it was an interesting exchange. I'll play it for you, and then I'm curious to get your take on it. You just let us know what you think.
Here's the bottom line. There's only one way to keep this economy strong, and that is to elect conservatives. Elect conservatives in Kansas, take back the House, elect conservatives in the U.S. Senate, and give him support. And I'm the only one up here who has elected conservatives consistently here in the state of Kansas. I carry that message. I'll do that in the next election. It's all about him having people who will support him who can get things done. And oh, by the way, Congressman Marshall, you had a Republican Congress for 2 years under Trump, and I don't know of anything that was accomplished. I still haven't heard of anything that's really got done. And you had a three-way race. You had a three-way race for a governor's race. I have a Democrat governor now who's raising money, and she is promoting liberal policy. And we need a proven fighter, folks. We need someone who can help Trump, help Kansas, and elect Republicans down ballot, and especially be Sharice Davis.
It was an interesting exchange. You heard the crowd really got fired up by that. But I think people were genuinely kind of surprised that you called out Congressman Marshall and you called out Secretary Kobach. I'm curious. It did not seem scripted at all. It just seemed like at the moment you were just basically fed up with both of them. And I'm just curious what was going through your head at that moment. It certainly wasn't scripted.
Well, John, it certainly was not scripted. I'm so darn angry having to deal with a Democrat governor now who is raising millions of dollars against my Republicans in the Kansas House and Senate. She's promoting Barbara Bollier for U.S. Senate, who already has over $1 million in the bank. And they've taken control of an awful lot of lobbyist money simply because we have a Democrat governor in power. He lost that race for Kansans. He didn't go out and shake hands. He didn't talk to unaffiliated voters. And if he wins the nomination for the U.S. Senate, we'll have the same problem again. We'll lose seats down ballot. We won't take back the third. And we'll have a tremendous fallout if he's the nominee. On the other hand, I'm angry with Roger Marshall, who has been elected for 3 years. He stands up and talks about how great Trump is, but he can't tell anyone about one accomplishment he's made for the conservative movement in Kansas or in D.C. I feel like voters want a conservative, a proven conservative who gets things done, who can debate, who's articulate, who can work with others, and not to mention the fact I've been elected to leadership numerous times in the legislature. So, yes, it does anger me. And when they tout things that are false, and it was time at that point in that debate to take them both on.
One thing I did like about the debate was at that point when you guys were each asked if you would support the eventual nominee, if it's not you, and all three of you immediately came back with a yes. We've seen that in particular. I know in your case, and in Congressman Marshall's, you both immediately came and helped Secretary Kobach in the governor's race. But I did appreciate all three of you immediately responded, yes, I'll support the eventual nominee. That was a unifying moment. But it was nice to see all three of you, you know, kind of giving your take in this race. Do you think this is essentially, and again, Dave Lindstrom wasn't there because of his illness, but do you think this really is now a three-person race? Or do you think there's still room for, say, a Mike Pompeo to get in it? Or is it really now a three-person race?
I think it's a three-person race. I think President Trump is far better off in his reelect if Pompeo is standing right by his side. And they're both governing from a position of strength. Mike Pompeo, having been the first in his class at West Point with a military background, he's the perfect personality to be our Secretary of State, and Trump needs him. So I'm very confident Mike Pompeo's not coming back. I do agree it's a three-person race between Roger Marshall, a congressman in the first, between Kris Kobach, a failed candidate for governor, and Susan Weigel, who is the proven leader of the conservative movement.
Well, the one thing I do, and I've said this before, you know, I think each of you brings a different skill point. I think each one of you has different things that you can articulate for why you might be the better candidate. But I will say, and I've said this before, you in particular have one asset that they don't have, and that is, you know, Barbara Beaulieu. She is so radical. You were there that day. I happened to be sitting on the floor watching from the sides when she stood up and railed against Catholics, when she attacked pro-life voters and constituents. She is so radically to the left of the mainstream in this state. And I think people need to understand that. You mentioned earlier how Governor Kelly and Kathleen Sebelius are dumping money into trying to paint her. They're using that Laura Kelly playbook about trying to portray her as a moderate. Barbara Beaulieu is far from moderate. You've served with her. She is truly a radical, isn't she?
I've debated her numerous times, as you well know, and she has not opened her mouth yet in debate yet on the Kansas Senate floor. They are trying to moderate her. And as you well know, she's a former Republican. So her message will be, I had to leave the party. The party forced me out. The radical right is too far for Kansas, and you need to stay with me. It's the Sebelius-Kelly playbook. It worked for Laura Kelly. It worked for Sebelius. It worked for Cherise Davis. And we need to combat that and be well aware as we consider who we nominate as our nominee for U.S. Senate.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Susan, I appreciate you coming on with us tonight. And I do appreciate what you did this week to stand up against or rather for life. And I know that this, you know, the left seems to be celebrating today, but this was a loss in the battle. It wasn't a loss in the war. And, you know, keep defending these principles that we hold most dear and just keep fighting for us. We appreciate you and your leadership. You don't have any allies in your Senate leadership, but we're behind you and we appreciate the leadership that you've shown. If folks want more information on your Senate campaign in particular, where can they go? Where can they follow you? If they want more information, if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, give us that link. Give us that information.
Thank you so much, John. I hope your listeners go on teamweigel.com and look at my website for U.S. Senate and join the team. And certainly Monday's day 29. There's plenty of time to pass that constitutional amendment and get it on the ballot for voters in August.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if folks are interested, I encourage them to visit your website. And if they also, you know, get on Kansans for Life and get information on that constitutional amendment, because they need help and they need your prayers, too. So I appreciate you again, Susan. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, John.
Well, you know, if you're interested in seeing what doesn't get accomplished in the Kansas legislature. And frankly, that may not be a bad thing, because if they're not doing anything, they're not screwing anything up. But if you want to see what how much they can't get done, perhaps the next week or two might be the time to watch, because everything I'm hearing is indicating that things are going to grind to a very slow halt in both chambers because of the actions of these four Republicans in name only. It's Bill Panbacker out of Washington, Kansas, Tom Phillips out of Manhattan, Jan Kessinger, last year's White Rhino Award winner, and their leader was a former, love saying that, former Majority Leader Don Heineman out of Dighton. You know, we need to reach out to these folks. Their contact information, again, is available online through the Kansas Legislature's website at kslegislature.org. You can get their emails, their phone numbers, call them. Let them know. If you've got important bills, important issues that are pending before the legislature, that stuff's going to die. That stuff isn't going anywhere. You care about something menial, trivial, or important, nothing's going to happen, folks, until this issue gets resolved. And these four people don't have a principled objection to the life amendment. They're just doing it for personal reasons. In the case of Don Heineman, he's doing it because he's got a job, or he's got a cabinet position, or because he's just following Laura Kelly's orders, because he's a lapdog like Jim Denning. Or he's made some kind of a sweetheart deal. Maybe he's not running again. Maybe he's, you know, got some kind of kickback. I don't know. I sure know that it's not a principled decision on his part. Because if he had a principled objection, he'd articulate that. If he truly had a reason for opposing this, he'd say it. He'd have run that amendment. He'd have fought that fight. But they're not fighting a fight. They're just throwing up barriers. Contact these folks and let them know. You've also heard the ads tonight. The Whitmer Show is proud to announce the White Rhino Awards are now open. Oh my gosh, do we have plenty of people who could get nominated this time around, starting with Jim Denning and, of course, Don Heineman and a few others. But those awards, the nominations are open. You can go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page or email me at john@knssradio.com. Submit your applications. We want to hear from you. We'll talk to you next week. Stay friends. Stay listening. Tune in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.